Okay, we're in power of attorney. So let's go back, the prayer of faith. Faith is what? You can answer. Faith is what? Assurance, the title deed of things we hope for, evidence of things not seen, which means we call those things which are not as though they already are, which means if you're believing for something, you've already received it before you can tangibly touch it. What most believers, they're not living by faith, they're living by hope, which simply says, I'll believe it when I see it. When it manifests, then, oh yeah, okay, I got it. No. Faith says, I have it before I can see it. Not like figurative, I'm talking like possessive. When you understand that, your whole prayer life changes. And that's why the prayer of faith is so powerful, because you're actually making the declaration, I've already gotten it. Now, I've told you the story before about the woman who had she had a cyst on her neck, a goiter on her neck, and the evangelist came in and prayed for her, and Sunday night was testimony night. And so on testimony night, she stood up and she said, I want to thank God for healing me of this goiter. Well, everyone looked over, the goiter's still on her neck. Every Sunday night's testimony night. So she stood up on Sunday night. I've got to thank my God for healing me of this goiter. Well, everyone's looking at her. The goiter is still there. 5-6 months into the whole thing, the board comes up to the pastor and says, listen, we can all see she's not healed. Tell her it's no more testimony on Sunday night. So Sunday night rolled around. He told her no more testimony. Sunday night rolled around. She stood up. She says, I cannot not thank my God for what he's done for me. I thank him for healing me of this goiter. And she said, you could feel the eyes burning through her. And as it did that, the goiter fell off. Poosh. People said, oh, I've never seen a goiter fall. Listen, back in the 1950s and 60s, there was an evangelist called David Nunn Sr. David Nunn Sr.'s ministries, he had a tent that sat, I think, about 12,000 to 15,000 people. And David Nunn Sr., I was actually able to meet him personally, great man of God. He had so many tumors fall off that halfway through the meeting, they would squeegee off the stage. It actually happened to Benny Hinn in India about 4 years ago. It's all on video. You can watch it. It's pretty gross. But this woman, she's sitting there talking about it, and boom, it falls off. When did she get healed? Right, when the evangelist prayed for her. But it was months and months and months and months and months later before it actually fell off. We can also see this in the book of Romans chapter 4. Turn there real quick. If you have your phone, you have your Bible. I am going to create an app one day. It's going to be the app of the Bible page sound turning on your phone. Wouldn't that be awesome? That way it would sound like you got your Bibles. Glory to God. Yes. Okay, verse 19. He's talking about Abraham here. Remember, God gave him a promise to have the child. Now, his wife was old. So you would think it was all gone, right? This is what it said, verse 19. Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of his wife's womb. She was in her 90s. Can you imagine being in your 90s and having a baby? And all the women said, amen. Here we go. Verse 20. And he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So faith in Abram said, it doesn't matter if I'm 100, it doesn't matter if she's 90, if God said I'm going to have a child that's going to pass on the lineage that will bring in the Messiah, then no matter how old I am not going to be weak in faith. So faith is declaring that God is it's done in the spirit. Now I want to remind you too that we live in linear time, which means we have hours, minutes, days, and years. decades, centuries, we'll go on. But God doesn't live in this time range. So when we're praying for something here and we receive it here, I need you to watch what God's doing. God is in supernatural time. You're way back there praying. You start praying, God goes back like this. God's got to come back to you. Because to him, right here, it's already done. But he's got to get you to move in faith from here to here. Remember, God lives in different time. There's only one time in biblical history that we actually see linear time enter heaven. And that is in the Great Tribulation period. It's one of the trumpets. That 30 minutes of silence happens in heaven. It's the only time in all of eternal history, universal history of the Word of God, that time that we live in actually invades heaven. 30 minutes, exactly. 30 minutes of complete silence in all of heaven. Now remember how God's time is. A day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. So when we're praying in faith, we're saying, God, I receive it here. God marks it. The manifestation might be right here. That's a miracle. Or you might get a healing, which might be right here. The difference between here, the prayer of faith, and the reception of your prayer is not determined by God. It's determined by us. Time is one of the things that actually brings a breaking of God's promise in people's lives. Why? Because God's promise that you've received by faith here, which means you've got it, right? But I still feel the same. Nothing's changed in front of me. So I guess it didn't happen. Well, what did you just do? What was the opposite of faith? Is unbelief. Why did the children not enter the promised land? Unbelief. Why could Jesus do no mighty miracles in his own town? Unbelief. Unbelief is the opposite of faith. So unbelief says this: God, you're a liar. Your word is not true. I can't trust you. Now, we'll never say that with our mouths, but we say that with our lives. So we release the prayer of faith here. If you release the prayer of faith, God says, now you have it. If the manifestation is here, now watch what happens to a lot of people. The manifestation happens here. I've received it. But now you start walking towards your miracle, towards your healing, towards your answer. And then you start looking at the waves in the wind around you. Remember when there was a boat and Peter was in the boat with the disciples and they recognized it was Jesus. What did Jesus say? Yeah, come here. Peter said, hey, Jesus, come here. When Peter stepped out on the water, what did he start doing? He started walking on the water. That's a miracle, right? When did the miracle get lost? That's right, when he took his eyes off of Jesus. Remember, Peter wasn't actually walking on water. Peter was actually walking on the words of Jesus. Jesus is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. The moment that Peter took his eyes off the word, the moment that Peter took his eyes off Jesus, the moment he put his eyes on the winds and the waves, that's when he began to sink. That's when the miracle gets lost. So here, the prayer of faith, Lord, I declare in Jesus' name that you're going to move in my life this way. I declare, God, that you're going to do it. And Lord, I'm not going to have any doubt or unbelief. From here to there is where most people walk away from their miracle. They put their eyes on the wind. They put their eyes on the waves. They put their eyes on the situation, the circumstance. Excuse me, I had a Tums before I came out here because I had candy. Can you go grab my water? It's on my desk. And the challenge is, if you're here and all of a sudden you start debunking the promise of God, well, if the miracle is going to be released here, you just lost it here. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. The Bible says your tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. The Bible says your tongue, life and death are in the power of it, and you shall eat the fruit thereof. So when all of a sudden you're believing God for a miracle, you said, in Jesus' name I receive it by faith. I know it's God's will. I know it's God's word. So you've received the answer here. Thank you. You've received the answer here, but now between here and there, well, I guess it didn't work. Well, I guess it didn't happen. Well, I didn't feel anything different. Boom. Well, and you won't. You just canceled the prayer of faith. There's an old song, oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful. It actually goes, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, whatever. However the song goes. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little what you eyes, what you see. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Because honestly, you can actually stop the power of God with your own words. Listen, it's not that doubt won't fly around your head, but you don't need to let it nest in your hair. When I've had to believe God for some serious stuff, the serious stuff you're sitting in right here, by the way, this building is an absolute miracle. You shouldn't be sitting in this building. When we went and we started declaring before God, Father, we thank you for this building. Lord, we thank you for the builder. Remember, he built this for $25 a square foot turnkey. Should have cost $125 a square foot turnkey minimal. There was no way we should have ever been in this building. But we started declaring it in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for a builder. God, we thank you for the money. God, we thank you for the land. We thank you. And we started declaring it and speaking over it. Even this land wasn't for sale. We called the owner. We declared it, decreed it, and God started providing. And all of a sudden, in one day, this entire piece of property was paid for. Miracle after miracle after miracle. But what would have happened if I would have said, well, I guess it's not working? Wouldn't have gotten it. You wouldn't be sitting where you're sitting today. Faith, the prayer of faith, is powerful. And it's really one of the most powerful prayers that I use on a consistent basis. Where I literally will look at something that is impossible. There's nothing more fun than looking at something that's impossible and decreeing in the name of Jesus by faith, calling it those things which are not, that they are. And I love watching people see the impossible happen. Why is that? Because the impossible makes people look at God as who he is, the supernatural king. So I'm constantly living in this prayer of faith. I love challenging God. No, I didn't say testing God. I love challenging God. Well, God challenges me, really. Will you believe what I say? Do you actually believe that I'm supernatural? Do you believe that I'm all powerful? Do you believe I have all provision? Well, I hope so. Boom, done. Cancel it, throw it away. I've literally watched people on the threshold of their miracle with their own tongue cancel the answer of God. You've got to be careful what your mouth speaks. We are called to speak the word. When Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, that's when he began to sink. Keep your eyes on the word with the prayer of faith, and you'll watch it manifest. Now, like you and me, I pray it doesn't take 20 years like Abram. Amen? I pray it don't take 20 years. But if it did take 20 years, would you be weak in faith? Do you really believe that God is able to do what he promises to do? If you believe that, then no matter what the circumstances say, if God said it, it is so. Yea and amen. That's where you and I as believers come to a real conclusion. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've got to make a decision. Do I actually believe the Bible is true? When we believe the Bible is true, we can call those things which are not as though they already are, and we can build our faith by being in the word of God. That's why the more you're in the word, listen, if you're sick in your body and believe in God for a miracle, I tell everybody to do the same thing. When my wife was diagnosed with cancer, the one thing that we did is we popped on T.L. Osborne's book on YouTube that you can get for free, and it's called Christ the Healer, and we played that thing all the time in my house. That's all you heard in my house. We didn't turn the TV on. If we turned the TV on, it was A.A. Allen. I watched the YouTubes of A.A. Allen performing signs and wonders and miracles. Why? Well, I didn't need to see NCIS. You can't build your faith with NCIS. You can't build your faith, definitely, with Grey's Anatomy. It means you need deliverance. Or what? Or Cops. I mean, listen, there's nothing evil about any of those shows. But when you need faith, you don't have the time to feed your flesh. You need to feed your spirit. And the prayer of faith will get stronger the more you feed your faith. Amen? Now, the next one is called the power of attorney. And that is something that if you understand this principle, you will live differently. I'm talking literally live differently. I preached on Sunday night to the young adults on spiritual authority and how we have delegated authority, and understanding spiritual authority puts you in a position of being able to act on behalf of somebody else. Now, if a person is sick, well, many times what they'll do is they'll have a power of attorney come into their life. What is that? That means that they're going to sign a legal document that you are acting on their behalf. That literally, when they sign your name, it's you signing your name. That when they're making a decision, when you're making a decision for them, it is literally them making the decision. The power of attorney means that you're acting on behalf of somebody else. And it's so powerful to recognize what God has done for us. You see, the power of attorney is a powerful prayer because what it does is there is a reality of recognizing that you have backing. There's nothing worse thinking that you have no backing. Now, I'll explain it like this way. If you go to a millionaire's bank and you stand in line with a teller, and when it comes your turn, you ask for $1 million from that person's account. Hi, I need $1 million. The teller's going to say, politely, of course, sir, I have no authority to give you those funds. I'm sorry, but if I remove a check from my pocket, sorry. I don't know why I just don't say it. I know it. So if I walk up to a bank teller and say, hey, I'm here and I need $1 million from this guy's account, they're going to say, well, you can't get $1 million from their account. I don't have authority to give it to you. But if I pull out of my pocket a check, and on that check is the billionaire's name, all I do is hand that to the teller. The teller's going to take it to the bank manager. They're probably going to call and say, is this really your signature? He's going to say yes, and they're going to come back, and they're going to give me $1 million cash. Why? Well, because that check is the designation that they have the funds. I want you to recognize that your Father in heaven has the funds. Your Father in heaven is not poor. Your Father in heaven is not weak. Your Father in heaven is not deaf. Your Father in heaven is able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. Your Father in heaven is able to cast out devils. Your Father, come on, we can go through the list. God is everything. There is nothing impossible for God. So the fact is that our bank is actually full. That's a good sign. Can I hear an amen? Now remember, I did that whole teaching. Some of you were here back in those days and some of you were not. But I did the whole teaching on ownership. The difference between ownership and being a steward. That God has never called us to be owners. In the Garden of Eden, he gave Adam and Eve, he gave them stewardship over the garden. And because they had stewardship, they had access to all that was available to them. You and I, God has never called us to own anything. He's called us to be stewards of everything, which means this. If we're God's stewards of his money, that's why when you say, well, that's my money. Whose money is that? Well, you know, that's my car out there. Whose car is that? Man, when I'm in my prayer time in the mornings, this is one of the first things I do when I'm walking around prayer. Father, thank you for letting me live in your house. God, thank you for allowing me to have these things that I have. Thank you for allowing me to have my family. God, you're the owner of everything that I have. There is nothing that is mine. God, everything is yours, and I pray that I'm a steward of what you have. That's why when I pay our tithe, it's not a big deal for me, because it's not mine to pay. I'm not giving him my tithe. I'm actually giving him back what a piece that he's given me to oversee. It's not like it's a big deal to me. I'm not giving God anything. Amen or oh my, you're awful quiet tonight. This ownership thing is very powerful. When we get into the principles of power of attorney, then we recognize that we're not acting on our behalf, we're acting on God's behalf. And with that, in the power of attorney, he has given us his name to act on his behalf. When we learn that, then we no longer are just walking around in our own authority. We're walking around in the authority in the name of Jesus. You see, the principle of the power of attorney is not something new in the scripture. I want to remind you that in the old covenant, God the Father was the one working with mankind. But then he sent his son Jesus. And when he sent his son Jesus, he gave Christ the power of attorney to work on his behalf. We call it the passing of the baton. God the Father was working with the Old Testament saints. Now God the Son is working with the New Testament saints. And what's powerful is that when Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead, he then passed the baton to you and I, the believers. Jesus said, I only do what the Father has told me to do. I only say what the Father has told me to say. Jesus said this, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. God declared in Acts chapter 10, verse 28, he said, hold on. Over here. Okay, I got to look it up. Been a long day. Acts 10:28. Turn there with me. 10:38, thank you. Acts is the last book of the Old Testament. No. Oh, I got it. How God anointed Jesus. I didn't even have to look. I finally just arrived. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and Jesus went about doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devil. So the fact is that Jesus came not on his own stead, but he came on behalf of the Father in the power of attorney. And when Christ ascended on high, he said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, he said, all authority has been given to me. Now go. And he gave them the authority that he had. We also see it in John chapter 14, where Jesus said, greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. Why? Because of the delegated authority. You see, you and I literally are not just Christianettes walking on this planet in survival mode, but we have the ability in the name of Jesus. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 14. He said, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. Why? That's the delegated authority. That's the signature on the check that God backs. So we have this prayer that is so powerful because we can work in delegated authority in the name of Jesus. Oh, that verse is right in the book. John chapter 12, verse 49, for I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command that what I should say and what I should speak. Matthew 28, 18, there we go. For I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command and what I should say and what I should speak. John 5, 26. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. Jesus then gave us the authority, Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. Just want to give you the verses. I already quoted them, but I'll give you the verses so you see I'm not just babbling. Jesus spoke and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things as I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Luke 9, 1 and 12. 9, 1 and 2. Then he called his 12 disciples together, gave them power and authority over all demons to cure the diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. John 14, 10 through 14. Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father in me? The words that I shall speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me and the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Mark 16:17-20, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils, they shall speak new tongues, and they shall take up any serpents and drink any other thing, and by no means it will hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he received up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. And they went out preaching the gospel everywhere, and the Lord working with them, confirming the word with accompanying signs. See, Jesus worked in the authority of the Father, and we work on the authority of the name of Jesus. Jesus did not need a name to work with. Jesus needed to name the name to give to us. That's the signature on the check. So when I pray in the name of Jesus, or I pray for you in the name of Jesus, I'm not waving a magic wand. Jesus. It's not a magic wand. There's nothing up my sleeve. When you pray in the name of Jesus, what happens is the Father pays attention. I want to remind you that we're talking about a legal system, not just a love system. The Word of God is a legal document. It's called the New Testament. It's a document, a legal document. The Word of God is our constitution, scriptural constitution. If you want to know how the kingdom of God runs or is managed, read the Word of God. For the kingdom of God is like, you'll hear that a lot in the book of Matthew. For the kingdom of God is like in unto, which is showing us this is how God's kingdom works. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Come on, I love this verse, so I say it all the time, and I pray you never get sick of it because it's Jesus' words. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How does that work? Because when you understand the power in the name of Jesus, this is what happens in heaven. I want to remind you, Father God is sitting there, Jesus is on his right hand. We have the Holy Ghost dwelling inside of us. Amen? When we pray in the name of Jesus. Now, because you and I are washed in the blood of Christ, because you and I are sons and daughters of God, the Bible says, according to Hebrews chapter 4, that we have the right to come before the throne of God boldly. So let me show you what's happening now. I need God. There you go. You're God tonight. You stand right there. You're God. Chris, you're the son. There you go. We need to put some little rings in your hand, though, you know. He's Jesus.
Follow me.
And then we have the Holy Spirit. Where's the Holy Spirit? Come on, Alan, you're the Holy Spirit tonight. So what happens is this. I'm the saint. I'm the son of God, right? I'm born again. If you're born again, say amen. I'm about to pray in the power of attorney. So I'm praying, Jesus, in your name, I thank you that you're going to touch so-and-so. The Holy Spirit takes that message, goes to Jesus, and he says to Jesus, he's praying. And Jesus says, yeah, that's our kid. Yeah. And then he said, turns to the Father and he says, Father, they're asking in my name, your will, they are your child. And the Father turns, takes his gavel, and goes, let it be done. Then the Holy Ghost goes, all right. So this is the legal. Now, literally, if we set up an entire courtroom, this is how it would work in the power of attorney. Because when I pray in the name of Jesus, it's as if Jesus is praying. And because I'm the Son of God, I have the right to use his name. And the Father says, that's the name I gave. Or if you were in a bank, he's saying, yep, that's the right name on the check. As it is done. So be it. That the word amen means so be it. So we have this legal thing happening. Now, many times when I'm in prayer, especially over prayer, something that's very, very much needed, and I need the prayer of faith, and I will always, when I'm praying in the prayer of faith, now I want to remind you that these prayers that we're talking about that are in your toolbox, many times they'll all work together in different facets. So if I'm going to do a prayer of supplication, I'm praying for something that I need details on. Lord, I need purple chairs. Lord, I don't know where we're going to get purple chairs, but I know that, God, there's nothing impossible for you. Yes, Lord, I saw the bill. It's $65,000 for these purple chairs. But I'm believing, God, that you're able to do abundantly above all I could even ask or think. So I'll say in the name of Jesus, and maybe I'll just be praying in tongues. The Spirit of God praying through me. Remember, that's what happens when you pray in tongues. The Spirit of God is praying through you. He's praying the will of God because the Holy Ghost cannot not pray the will of God because he is God. So that's why praying in tongues is so powerful and so important. That's why you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't make you a better Christian. It makes you a more powerful Christian because when you don't know what to pray in English, the Holy Spirit will pray through you in tongues. So all of a sudden you start praying in the Spirit and the Holy Ghost goes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, they need chairs. Talk to my dad. And Father says, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He's blood washed, right? He born again? Yes. Yeah, yes, he is. So I recognize him. He's my child. And then all of a sudden, you hear the prayer, and the prayer is in the name of Jesus. Now I'm working on his behalf, and you go, oh okay, gavel, boom, let it be done. Angels are dispersed. God releases the miracle on earth. He'll even use the wealth of the wicked to bring in and bless the righteous. Amen? Listen, we've had sinners bless this church with seven. I remember there's one sinner blessed us with a $7,000 check. A sinner. Spencer, you're not a pseudo-Christian. I'll help. Here's $7,000. All because this is the legal formation in heaven. So we're praying in the power of attorney. We're acting on Christ's stead. So when the Father hears us pray in the name of Jesus, this is a legal factor. Not just that he's our Father and he wants to bless us abundantly. If you earthly parents know how to bless your children, how much more your heavenly Father does. Beyond that, this is a legal factor. So when I'm praying for something that I need, I'm not, well, Lord, if you really want to do this for me, I hope it works. No. I take authority. I say, Father, in the name of Jesus. But you need to see that happens in heaven. That's how it works. If you ask anything in my name, what's anything? If you're praying according to the word of God and the will of God, you can't fail. But the moment you get into, well, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that if this works, Lord, I'll serve you. Well, I'm sorry, there's no faith in that. Faith is the currency of heaven. It's the activator of heaven. Without faith, you cannot please God, Hebrews chapter 11. So, it's the need to know your authority. And this is why I say when you pray in the power of attorney, you pray differently because you recognize you have the right, according to the word of God, Hebrews chapter 4, I have the right to come before the throne of God boldly. The word boldly means outspokenly. And pray the prayer and God says, I'll give you the answer. Well, you know, sometimes God says no. Where does it say that? I challenge you to show me that. That's good religion, but bad Bible. If you're praying the will of God in the name of Jesus, he will never tell you no. He can't. It's a legal document. So what happens is the vacillation in our own flesh, the vacillation in our own faith is what dislocates us from our miracle. So when you understand the power of attorney, when you understand the prayer of faith, You can look in two different realms. One, you're God's baby. Daddy, I love you. He'll bless you because you're his kid. But beyond that, when you really understand your authority, Father, in the name of Jesus, it's a legal document. Thank you. So the prayer is so powerful. And when you and I recognize our authority in his name, remember what it said in the book of Mark chapter 16, 15 through 20. Verse 17 says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils." I want to remind you that the devil is not afraid of your name. You did not make an open show of him publicly in the spirit realm, Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Jesus made an open show. That's why when we stand in the name of Jesus, demons have got to be submitted to us. I know I told you the story before, but I want to remind you, Lester Summerall one time I believe he was in England when it happened, and he was sleeping, and about midnight, his bed started to shake. And his bed shook violently, and it shook him away from the wall and into the middle of the room. And of course, it woke him up. And he said, "In the name of Jesus, devil, get out of my room." That devil left him. Left that room. He then realized he's in the middle of the room. And he said, "In the name of Jesus, get back here and put me back where you got me." That devil came back in the room, shook the bed all the way back to the wall, and then left. Listen, the demons know the name of Jesus. They know the authority. "Oh, no, I'm afraid of devils." Really? Well, I'm sorry that you are. I'm not afraid of the devils. Why would I need to be afraid of a devil who's been defeated? Why would I need to be afraid of the devil when I have the name of Jesus? Well, Michael the archangel wouldn't bring an accusing statement against the devil. Well, that's right, because he's an angel. I'm a child of God. Christ has given me his name to act on his stead. So you need to know that with those two understandings, your prayer life changes. You no longer pray passively. You no longer pray, "Well, you know." You pray with authority in Jesus' name. And you know that God hears you. And you know that God has the answer. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. "And if you pray anything according to his will, he hears you. And the answer is on its way." The Bible says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him." I have confidence in Jesus. I have confidence in my prayer life. I have confidence in the power of God. How? Because I know his will, and when I pray in the power of attorney in the name of Jesus, heaven moves. It is an official gavel-striking declaration from the throne of God. When you know that, everything changes. And this is why this class is so imperative. This is why the devil works desperately to keep you out of this class, because if you don't know this, your prayer life is always weak, and you're always more living in hope than you are in faith. And listen, when you're sick or something's really happening in your life, you don't have the convenience of trying to figure it out then. You need to know this before the crap hits the fan. Oh, do we have a runner? Right here. Exactly. When you don't have faith in God, what you're actually saying is you are actually weaker than a man. Now, we aren't saying that with our mouth, but we are saying that with our faith. That's why, man, you've got to get into the Word of God. You've got to know the Word of God. You've got to feed yourself every single day. The devil's desperately trying to keep you out of the Scriptures. You know, this is why I listen to the Word of God all night long. This is why this morning when I got up, I was watching YouTubes of preachers. Why was I doing that? Besides my time of prayer, besides my time of Bible reading, why was I feeding myself? Because I want my faith larger. I've got to believe God for a new building that's probably going to cost us $5 million. But I want to pay this one off first. So I've got to believe God for $1.5 $1.6 million to pay this building off and then believe God for another $5 million to build a new one. Listen, I can't afford to have the faith of $1.25. So I got to build my faith as your pastor. I got to declare these things. You know, we're believing God for 200 people in Ithaca. That's not a hope prayer. That's a declaration prayer in the name of Jesus. We're going to fill Ithaca with 200 souls by Christmas time. We're going to fill Mansfield to 100 souls by Christmas time. And I'm declaring in this house that there'll be 900 people every single Sunday morning in Jesus' name. We've been declaring $30,000 minimum, $30,000 a week in tithes and offerings. Over the last, listen now, it's been awesome. Over the last 2 months, tithes and offerings have gone up $3,000 to $4,000 a week. How is that possible? Because numerically, it hasn't changed. We declared it, we called it forth, and God is moving on people's in people's lives, blessing them financially so they can bless the house of God. I want you to see that this is not just some little gambit. This is lifestyle prayer. Some of you need more money in your home. Well, for goodness sakes, learn the prayer of faith. Learn the prayer of agreement. We're going to get into that one next. Learn the prayer of a power of attorney. And you can call those things which are not as though they already are. God will bring the finances. If you got to go catch a fish, he'll bring the finances. If you're a tither and a seeder, you're positioning yourself. Man, God will bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. If you need health in your body, man, you need prayer now, but you don't need to hope it. You need to have faith that God's word is truth. And you don't have the luxury not to have that faith. So feed your faith now. Feed your faith now. So when you need these prayers, you have these tools in the box to get the job done. If you don't have the tools in the box, listen, if God is moved by faith, the Bible says anything not done in faith is sin. So if it's not prayed in faith, you're not going to get your answer. If you're not going to get your answer, you get mad at God. Even though that means you're cutting your nose off, spite your face. God is saying, no, listen, I gave you the ability to build your faith, to speak my word, to speak truth that makes you free, but you chose to live in doubt and unbelief. So don't get mad at me. You can't get mad at God if you haven't prepared your faith level. Because God is no respecter of persons. He blesses all of us the same according to our faith. When they came to Jesus, what did he say to them? So be it as unto your faith. Where's your faith? You can't pray the power of attorney if you don't believe that you have the authority in Jesus' name. And you can't pray the prayer of faith if you don't believe that Jesus is actually hearing you and that he will always do his word. You can only pray in hope. And hope don't work. If hope and need worked, there'd not be a starving child on the planet. God is moved by faith. Amen. The next one is called the prayer of agreement. The prayer of agreement's a lot of fun. And one of the things in marriages is something that's happening in this prayer. You'll find that marriages, the devil is trying to destroy. Why? Because when a husband and wife pray the prayer of agreement together, it actually moves heaven. It's called synergy, where one person moves. But when you got two moving, you got extra power. That's why you ever seen like cowboy movies? And they got the stagecoach. They have a 4-horse hitch or a 6-horse hitch. But if they're pulling a really strong, heavy, heavy, heavy load, like lots of gold, then they pulled an 8-horse hitch. And what happens is, it was a little slow to get everything flowing. But once the horses got momentum, then it flowed easier because of the synergy of the multiplicity. And this is the prayer of agreement. The Bible makes the declaration that if we pray the prayer of agreement, that you and I will see the hand of God move. The enemy tries and strives to bring division. Division is very interesting because it means division. Vision. Without a prophetic vision, my people perish. Die means duplistic or more than one. That's why he said you've got to have one vision. So a husband and wife get together, they start praying, and one of them believing over here for this, and one of them believing over here for that. They're not in vision, they're in division. And division is what the devil strives to do. 51% of all Christian marriages end in divorce. And the reason is division. The enemy strives to keep you separated as a husband and wife, strives to keep you from praying with each other, strives to keep you from agreeing with each other. Why? Because if he knows the prayer of agreement works. If two touch one thing, it shall be done. So the enemy works desperately to keep the prayer of agreement out of your marriage, out of your family, and out of the church. The more division he can cause within a church, the more faction and friction he can cause within a church, what ends up happening is division starts. That's why the Bible says, mark those who cause division amongst the body. Why does he say mark those? Well, you got to understand what the word mark means. Mark means let everybody know who they are. Why does he say mark those who cause division? Because he knows that if division is not marked, then people will be sucked in. And when they're sucked in, what happens is we can no longer pray in vision. Only division. Which means visions die. Ooh. This why. You start reading the book of Corinthians, you're going to see how many times Paul comes against the division. So the prayer of agreement is powerful. This is how he got Adam and Eve. He caused separation, yes. He tempted Eve, didn't tempt Adam. He caused division within the first family, which caused our problems today. Remember, division or the lack of power of agreement affects not just you, but generations. How do we know that? Mark chapter 3, verse 24 and 25. If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, the house cannot stand. Divide and conquer has always been the major working of the demonic. How do we know that? It's gone all the way back to Cain and Abel, all the way back to Adam and Eve. Always what he does. The Bible says, don't be ignorant of the devil's devices or the devil's plots and plans. That's what the word means. You'll always search it back to the very beginning, which is division. That is the number one thing that he does in marriages. It's the number one thing he does in churches. The number one things he does wherever synergy can happen, he destroys it. You want to know why? Watch this. When they were building the Tower of Babel, God said, we've got to go down and confound their languages. Why? This is what God said. Man who puts their mind to anything can make it happen. Read it. God knows that when people come into agreement, there's nothing that cannot be accomplished. Every time agreement was in order, we saw a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2. They were all in one place and one accord. On the day of Pentecost, what happened? He poured out his Spirit, as was promised in the book of Joel. Acts chapter 4. They were in one location praying because of persecution. What happened? The Bible says, they were in one place, one accord, and the place they were was shaken. Literally, the house started to shake under the power of God. And they were all filled like they were in the beginning. And they were filled with boldness. And they went out and started preaching the gospel with signs and wonders following. How about when Peter was in prison? The church got together and they started praying the prayer of agreement for his deliverance. All of a sudden, the Bible says that an earthquake hit the jail. He sprung. He goes to the house of the prayer meeting. That's my favorite. Knocks on the door. Little girl Rhoda comes to the door and says, "Hello." And Peter's standing there. She shuts the door on Peter. And she says, "It's Peter." And they said, "No, really, it's his ghost." Because Peter's in jail. "No, you don't even believe what you're praying. God just answered it anyways." But the prayer of agreement shook it all loose. Whenever people get together and they start agreeing, that's why we do the week of fasting and prayer at the beginning of the year and the week of fasting and prayer in September. Because we've got to stay in alignment. Because if a division comes in, it only destroys vision. But when we're moving together as one, there's nothing we can't do. Amen? So as a husband and wife, you should be praying together. We put together and we do it at the beginning of every year, the faith wall. Yes? Why do we have you do a faith wall? So you can stare at it while you're sitting on the toilet. No. So that as a family, with the prayer of agreement, you can call those, come on now, the prayer of faith, call those things as if they already are in the name of power of attorney, in the name of Jesus, and we're praying with supplication. What do you mean? Well, we're now given details of what we're believing the Lord for. See how all those prayers work together? All the tools start working together. You don't just keep a wrench in your toolbox. You need a wrench to do certain things, but you need hammers to do other things, and then you need that electric drill to take care of the business. All these prayers just work together. They're fundamental. But when you don't know them, you don't know how to flow in them, then you're really stymied. You're going to have to build a house with a spoon. This is why so many believers are weak in their prayer time, because they don't know the different prayers. Whenever people come together with one mind and one purpose, I already said the verse, Acts 2, 1 through 4, Acts 2, 46 through 47, Acts 4, verse 31. Matthew chapter 18, 18 to 20 says this, "Assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now, I need you to really see this. The prayer of agreement. If you take authority over something on this planet in the prayer of agreement, it happens in heaven. If not, God is a liar. Let's go home. Whatever you loose in heaven in the prayer of agreement is loosed on earth. See, these are things, what happens where faith, when it is weak faith, we look at it and we hope it to happen. But when it is true, solid, Holy Ghost faith, when it is word-based faith, I trust what God is saying. I declare the word of God is truth, and I refuse to vacillate. I refuse to allow unbelief to seat in any part of my belief system. When we stand there and we say, "In the name of Jesus, I loose the power of the Holy Ghost. I loose the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I loose the presence of God." When you do that in the prayer of agreement, nothing else can happen but the descent of the power of God. That's why you hear me on Sunday mornings, you know, after praise and worship. Sometimes you hear me get up here and encourage everybody with different words. Because whether you realize it or not, we're up here, and the reason we're up here is not because we're cute. The reason we're up here is because we're able to see the faith of the people. You do know that faith can be seen, right? We can see faith. And so in this praise and in this principle of a prayer, you can look out and you can see faith or the lack thereof. Most of the time, there are what we call pockets of faith. There'll be people, whether you're in the back or you're in the front, because there are people that are in the front that have no faith either. Just because someone can shout before God don't mean they have faith. Pockets here, pockets there. You can see the pockets of faith. And what you'll hear me do many times, you'll hear me get up and this is what I'm doing. I'm trying to bring oneness to our faith level. This last Sunday, we just got to focus on Jesus. This is all about Jesus. Listen, this is all about your relationship with the Lord. Did you see me? I brought everyone back. Because if we're not in agreement, then we're in fragmentation. Fragmentation, you'll never see the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but you'll see pockets of his outpouring, but not the fullness that we deserve. Amen? Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? So many times you'll just see me up there and I'll be releasing the power of God, loosing the power of God on the body, releasing the presence of the Holy Spirit. In the morning at 7:15, if you're not here, you're always encouraged to come. We do 7:15 prayer meeting every Sunday except on Easter, except this coming Easter. But normally we do 7:15 prayer meeting, and there'll be 75 to 100 people in the room praying together. And our goal is to make sure that this room is stacked with angels, stacked with the power of God, so that when you come in on a Sunday morning and you need encouragement, you can get here and get it. Amen? So the prayer of agreement, husbands and wives, you need to learn this prayer because it will change you. Also, the next type of prayer is what we call praise and worship. We're going to get into it more in the next chapter. But you will find that the majority of my prayer time is worship. I will walk and pray, or I'll put on a CD and pray, and I'll just sing to God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Remember, Jesus taught them to pray. Hallowed be thy name, which means holy is your name, or I bring glory to your name. It's a part of worship. So the very first thing I always do is follow the pattern of Jesus. I start my prayer time off by worshiping. Now, I don't sing that great, so I will have Juanita Bynum sing, or I'll have Jimmy Swaggart's old song singing, or I'll have another's Keith Green, or somebody. I'll have somebody singing and doing worship, and I'll just be worshiping with them. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's favorite topic is Jesus. So when you start singing about Jesus, when you start singing, all of a sudden the Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Now the purpose for prayer is getting the presence of God where you are. So the more you praise, the more the presence comes, the more the presence comes, the more you're led in prayer, the more you're led in prayer, the more faith you have, the more faith you have, the faster the answers come. Praise is a big part of your life in prayer. That's why people say, how in the world can you pray an hour? Easy! Because you can pray for 10 or 15 minutes of that hour. And then you can read the word for 10 or 15 minutes of that hour. And then you can pray for 10 or 15 minutes of that hour. And then you can just shut up and listen for the other 10 or 15 minutes of the hour. It's an hour. It is really easy to pray for an hour when you do it that way. But that's the biblical principle. The last type is called the prayer of the praying in the spirit, or praying in tongues. Now you notice I'm rushing because I don't want to be like Pastor Chad. Amen. Praying in the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Everybody in this room, you've all come from different backgrounds. Some of you came from church backgrounds. Some of you came from non-church backgrounds. Some of you came from Baptist backgrounds. Some of you came from Pentecostal backgrounds. Some of you came from Nazarene backgrounds, which all of these different groupings believe what they want to believe. But I personally just believe the Bible. Isn't that easier? So I just go back to the Bible. The Bible talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is a personal tongue, which is found in the book of Acts chapter 2, where he said, go and tarry in Jerusalem till you receive the promise of the Father. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And the Spirit of God came into the room. Tongues of fire were upon their head. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then the people, as they spilled out into the city, the people heard them speaking in other tongues. And they talked about all the different languages that they heard in tongues of men and of angels. And man, God was being blessed and glorified. We know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that when you speak in tongues, that you're speaking spirit to spirit, and that you're bringing glory to God, whether it's by Acts chapter 8, where the Spirit is praying through you, making intercession through you on behalf of somebody else, or whether you're just encouraging yourself in the Lord according to the book of Jude. I know it's not all in there. I just quoted a bunch of stuff. So here we are. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is powerful. An example I always give, and it's in the book, is there was a woman who was in the second floor apartment, and she was praying and having a great time in prayer, and she was getting excited in prayer, started praying in tongues really, really loud. And then all of a sudden, the lady from the downstairs apartment ran upstairs, knocked on the door. She says, "I'm sorry, I didn't know I was so loud. I apologize, didn't mean to bother you." She says, No. "I'm from Sicily, and how do you know Sicilian?" She says, "Well, I don't know a Sicilian. I've been praying in tongues." And she said, "Well, you've been praying for a little boy who's drowning off the coast of Sicily." The Spirit was making intercession through her. So praying in tongues is so powerful. You need to have this as part of your prayer life. There are times that I'm just singing in praise. You know, I might not know what I want to sing, but I'll just pray. I'll just sing in the Spirit. I'll just walk around my man cave just singing in the Spirit, just loving on God. Other times when I'm praying, I get a burden and I'm not sure what to pray for, I'll just start praying in the Spirit. And the Spirit will make intercession through me. Because remember, God is moved by prayer. He needs a person to pray. That's how he designed the kingdom. God is moved by prayer, so if you don't pray, God don't move. But if you don't know what to pray, and you pray in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God is praying through you. Therefore, God is bringing an answer. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is extremely important to your life. And I just want to challenge you on Sunday morning. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost with this prayer team that's up there, you just come up and say, "I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost." And you need that. The Bible says that Paul said, "I pray in tongues more than you all." He talked in tongues all the time. I pray in tongues all the time. I'll be driving down the street praying in tongues. I'll be in my prayer closet at home in my man cave walking around praising in tongues. Then I'll pray in tongues. Then I'll pray in English. Then I'll pray the prayer of faith. Then I'll pray the prayer of agreement. Then I'll pray and I'm just having a great time. Why? Because I'm not talking to a ceiling. I'm talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm not talking to a religious icon. I'm talking to the Messiah who's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And I'm not hoping it's going to be done. I can come into the throne of God boldly. Whether I'm in the man cave, in the human flesh, in the Spirit, I'm standing before the heavens. And God is saying, "I hear my kid. Oh, he understands authority. Yep, I heard the name of Jesus. That's the will. Boom. Gavel goes." So prayer is so powerful. All these tools you need to have in your toolbox, because at some point in time, you're going to need them. At some point in time, you're going to need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're going to need the ability to speak with other tongues. When all of a sudden a burden comes on you and you don't know what to pray. Another quick example was there was a police officer that had gotten saved in our church at one point in time. He and his wife, they came from a Lutheran background. And I remember when she got baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's when we used to call this catechism. It was way over at the corner, way down here in the square. And we were in the upstairs apartment. We rented apartments upstairs. And we were doing catechism in the upstairs apartment. And there was like 10 of them in that room. And all of a sudden, we just talked this same chapter. Started talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And said, "You need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost so you can pray." And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God came on her. And she started speaking in tongues. I didn't hear anything from her for 2 or 3 days. And her husband called me. And he said, "Listen, is she supposed to still be speaking in tongues? She hasn't spoken in English yet." I said, "Well, she'll be all right." So all of a sudden, man, her husband, because he saw how real it was, he wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues. And one night, as a police officer, he was supposed to go in and work the midnight shift. And he was getting ready to go to work, and he felt, for whatever reason, I guess he called in. And he was going up the stairs, and he felt this heavy burden come on him for his partner. And he said to me, he said, "I'm not a crier, but it was just like 10,000 pounds came on my shoulders." And he said, "All I knew was it was about my partner. I didn't know anything else." He said, "So all I could do was call my wife together," and they actually, he didn't even make it down the stairs. They were on the stairs together. praying in tongues. They prayed, they prayed, they prayed until they felt the Holy Spirit rise and lift. And then he said, I've got to find out what's going on with my partner. And just about the same time that they started praying, he also called in and did not go into work. I want to remind you that the Holy Spirit will use you in prayer to change history. Futures are changed by praying in the Holy Spirit. Who knows what would have happened? Who knows what could have happened? But something would have happened, or else God wouldn't have put a burden on him. So he actually stopped something evil happening in his partner's life by obeying God and praying in the Holy Spirit, words he didn't know, but God prayed through him. So you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If nothing else, not just the great thrill of stirring up the gift of God that you receive by the laying on of hands, but also just simply to be used in prayer for somebody else. Amen? Does anybody have any questions? I did really good tonight. Was that all right? Hour went by quick, didn't it? I could talk about this stuff for 4 or 5 hours. Really, I just love giving you examples. I mean, I can give so many examples of God moving in all these different types of prayer. I would love to do that. I think that that's also powerful. But I have to give you the scriptures. I have to give you the word, because the word is what builds your faith. That's why we are a worshiping church, but you'll find that we never do worship longer than the word. The word is always given more than worship on purpose in this church. I love worship, but worship does not build faith. The word builds faith. We are a word church. Amen? Questions concerning prayer? Next week we'll get into praise. Yes, praise and worship next week. Amen? Questions? Yes. The prayer of agreement is when two people, grab my hand, you're believing God for a car. Let's just say you're believing God for a car. Not just a car, but a red car, because we want to do supplication with it. Supplication is details. You and I are going to say, I'm going to ask you, are you a tither? So if you're a tither, then you're right in line with God's principles. And you and I are going to say, in the name of Jesus, we agree together, Father, that you are going to bless him with a red car, and that, God, it is going to be the desire. Lord, it's going to be perfect. It's going to be exactly what he desires. And we call it forth and we declare it done. What is loosed in heaven is loosed on earth. We command this to be loosed from the heavenlies, to be brought to earth for the glory of heaven. Now watch. I wanted a pickup truck, a V10 1995 Dodge truck, V10. It was down at this dealership. They wanted $14,000 for it. I walked in, drove it. My wife and I didn't have a pot to pee in because we had just started on the road as evangelists. And I needed it. Because she needed to have a car for here because of the kids. I was actually leaving her stuck up in the town of, what town were we living in then? In the town of Dix on top of a hill with no car. Well, I didn't have a choice. I'd be gone for 3 weeks. Her mom would come in and help drive her around. We needed another car. So I saw this 1995 V10 pickup truck, and I said, that's the will. So I walked over and I said, honey, that's the truck we want. The man said, well, I need $2,000 down. Well, I didn't have $2,000. He says, listen, I'll hold the note if you do the $2,000 down. Well, I know the next church I was going to, last time I went there, they gave me like $500 or $600, not $2,000. So I went to that church. My wife and I grabbed hands. I actually called another one of my buddies. I figured three is better than two. And I said, I need the prayer of agreement. I need $2,000 this weekend in the name of Jesus. Actually, I need more than that because I need to pay the bills in the house. So in Jesus' name, we declare that that truck is mine. We declare that, God, you're going to bring in the money to take care of it in Jesus' name. That was a prayer of agreement. I went to that church, sat down at that pastor's table for supper. He looked at me and he said, where's your wife? I said, well, she's home. He says, how does she get around? And I was driving a green caravan. He said, how does she get around? I says, oh, her ma takes it when she needs it. He says, does she have a car? I says, well, no, but we're believing God for a car for her. That's all I said. You know, when you start telling people what you're believing for, you're now working in witchcraft because you're trying to manipulate them to get what you want. So we didn't tell him. Didn't tell him nothing. He stands up on that night, because I was getting ready to preach. He stands up and he says, you know what? Sister Spencer doesn't have a car. We need to have $1,000 tonight, and I'm going to give the first $500. That night, $1,000 came in. I said, whoa, Jesus, we're halfway there. It was a three-day revival. The next night, another $1,000 came in. That paid the truck. I still got to pay my bills. The last night, over $800 came in. That was the largest offering at that point I'd ever received, $2,800. I was able to come back, buy the truck. I drove it for 2 years and sold it for more than I bought it for. And paid my bills. Why? Prayer of agreement. It works. Works. God's word works if you work the word. Amen? Any more questions? Amen. Let's stand. I want to remind you to be a giver. You never come to the king's house without a gift. Make that a principle in your life and you'll always remain blessed. You're saying, well, I only have $1.25. Then whatever God tells you to give out of $1.25, you give. You want to learn how to be a giver. Amen. This is how you stay prosperous and blessed. If you're online watching, listen now. It doesn't exempt you. There's a button on there. Hit the button. Button. You know, listen, a lot of people get mad because we talk about giving in this church. I would be a criminal before God not to talk to you about finances. Why is that? Because it's as much the word, talked about as much in the word, as salvation is. Actually, there's more talked about money in the New Testament than any other topic. Even more about than hell. Why? Because the devil is very clear. You cannot serve two masters, both God and mammon. Mammon is not the devil. Mammon is money. And when you and I recognize he is the owner and we are not, then giving is easy. Amen? I challenge you to be a giver. Be a tither. You know, we're believing God to be able to pay this building off. And I believe God will be able to do that through you. I walked up to a man the other day. I says, I'm believing God that your business is going to jump to $10 million so you can tithe $1 million. He says, well, I'll believe with you. And I says, amen. So, but really, this is every one of us increasing. God wants to increase you financially. Why? Well, because he wants you to be a blesser of the house. It's not my house. Listen now, the only salary I get is what is determined by the board. I'm not even allowed to be in the room according to the IRS laws when they determine my salary. This year, very blessed. They gave me a $2,000 raise. Hadn't had a raise in 3 years. Very excited about it. But you know something? I wasn't even in the room when they decided it because I can't be. So the fact is that this is not about pastor putting more in his pocket. Amen. That's the big rumor that's out in the community. Well, pastor, you know, he's taking money out of the pot so he can pay for things. Listen, I have a budget in my home just like you do. I just thank God my wife's better with money than I am. When I handled the money, there was no money at the end of the month. I believed without any question when I was the steward over the money that after paying your tithes and your bills, if there was anything left over, Dick's Sporting Goods was the place to be. After my wife took over the finances, I realized that she said, wow, there's a lot of extra money every month. And I said, I don't know where it is. She says, well, this I know. I can give you an allowance that will allow you to buy a Harley. I says, you can handle the money anytime you want. So you need to know that when we start talking about finances and you hear those foolish little rumors out in the community, that honestly, pastor doesn't get anything out of the plate. It's determined by IRS law through the board of trustees what I make. And I can't touch anything besides. That's the law. Amen? So when you give, what we're doing is we are really, our goal is we bus in all those kids, $30,000 a year for buses. And the new bus law that's coming in, it might have to double. The new bus law is horrible. The state is coming down on churches. And what they're doing is they're making it very hard for us to truly minister to our community. And it's very sad what Cuomo is doing and the other officials in Albany are doing. But we have to comply. There are 600 churches that come under the new law, but I believe a little over 200 churches are the ones that are the ones having to pay, and we're one of them. And it's because our ministry is too big to them. Well, I don't understand that. We're helping a generation of children that, if you're in that other room on Wednesdays, those kids are effing off Josiah. They're calling the teachers horrible names. But what I love about them is they're still loving every one of these kids. These kids are getting hugged and loved and ministered to that they would not get anywhere else. And we are literally changing a generation. So I want to say thank you for all your giving. You know, it is literally changing this region. And we know that because the school principal of the junior high told us that 2 years ago, that this church is changing her school. And I just want to say thank you for all your giving. Amen. Father, speak blessing over the offering, blessing over your word. Let it be sealed in our heart that God, we will see and be able to pray with power and authority, and that God will see heaven come to earth for your glory. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.